Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, with you on this Thursday, 11th day of July 2019. And, well, I'm finally going to be at the helm solo today, which there's a lot of news and information. When I do interviews, I post the news up going, wow, I got to remember to do that story. There was a man that sent me a book the last week of June. His name is Mark Bitz, B-I-T-Z. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, wow, this looks like a small model of War and Peace. It's a big book, Winning Practices of a Free, Fit, and Prosperous People. Well, it isn't a get-rich-quick. It isn't flipping real estate or refurbishing cars and setting up your own used car lot. No. This goes to the heart and the depth of this society, this culture, this country. And this man took an extended period of time just to drop in, eyeball it, and see what condition our condition was in. And it ain't good. And in the first paragraph of his letter, he says, enclosed is a book that I thought would interest you and your listening audience. The book, Winning Practices of a Free, Fit, and Prosperous People, is a result of my undergraduate and graduate studies, business and community leadership experiences, visits to all of our 50 states and 60 different countries, reading over 1,200 books, 40 years of thought, 5 years of researching and writing, and the destruction and recreation of hundreds of paradigms within me. And the man is a very clear thinker. Philosophy? Is he a philosopher? What is a philosopher? A philosopher are those that, try to make sense and reason of how we conduct ourselves, who we are, how we interact, and things of that nature. And philosophy is becoming really big because many people are falling away from the church and they go, okay, well, I'll go the thinking route. I'll go the philosophy route. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with philosophy, but I think as a species, sometimes we just think too damn much. We're our own worst enemy and we create our own problems. Everything that human beings deal with, it's a construct. It's something that we invented. And it's something that we try to coexist with and try to manage and handle. But there are times where we create the beast and the beast eats us. The answers to our questions are way bigger than the questions themselves. On the issue of, and I just opened up the book at random here, I'm on page 519 of 600 and some odd pages. He said, "United we stand, divided we fall." Trite? I think not. Anybody who has ever struggled to overcome an enemy in a war, a rival in business, or another sports team understands the truth of this statement. A shared mission, values, agenda, and trust unify groups and enable them to perform well and to persist. High-functioning groups are comprised of individuals who differ and are similar in meaningful ways. Some lead, some inspire, some plan, some organize, some innovate, some teach, some raise children, and some just do whatever needs to be done. Moreover, most of the people in a high-functioning group share a common history, a language, a purpose, a set of practices, and an agenda. The differences create synergy, and the similarity creates cohesion, two essential ingredients, of high-performing groups. Countries are just larger groups that work best when their citizens share a common culture, or at least a common language and a common values, perspectives, practices, prohibitions, and mission. Numerous cultures and orders work in a country. Sorting out the best mix requires a lot of learning, deliberation, and work. So we depend on our leaders to identify and articulate a common language, values, perspectives, practices, prohibitions, and mission. Every winning perspective and practice that we employ improves our social cohesion, fitness, and well-being. Now, I don't think, thank you, Joanne, for the email you sent me over yesterday or the day before. She just sent me over, I think it was the, I can't remember exactly what it was, but the point of it was that, yes, this culture is degrading and rapidly. We have had problems before the illegal alien invasion, and this is nothing more than an occupation, folks. Think of it this way. Mexico being Israel and the United States being Palestine. And who do we have in our country right now? We've got a lot of Israelis. Or is that Mexicans? But you understand the point. People are depressed. They don't know why. People can't function. They don't know why. The sun still comes up. They plug in their coffee pot. They make their coffee. They start their day the same way. They shower. They shave. They do what they do every day in preparation for a day that they really don't want to face. But they know they have to. More people are giving up. More people are just, they can't figure out the malaise. They've tried SSRIs to deal with their depression or their anxiety. That should be a last resort for anybody. But after people go through that, a lot of times they end up in worse shape than they were before they started their medications. And they can't solve the dilemma. It's eating at them like a cancer every day, day in, day out, week in, week out, month after month, year after year. The disappointments we used to shrug off now become monumental. They stymie us. Indecision. Don't know what to do. And all the while, the culture and the country that they live in is degrading all around them. They don't know what to do. Many people are taking the way out of committing suicide. That is not an answer. He has in his book here, English as a National Language. Lee Kuan Yew wrote this. He said, in an established national society, one of the fundamental qualifications for joining that national society is an adequate knowledge of the underlying language of that society. It was this language qualification that ensured the Americans that basic underlying force. Racially, the immigrants started as Germans, Italians, Spaniards, and even Japanese, but the fact that American state insisted on an adequate command of the American version of English before accepting the immigrants as citizens of the state ensured the unifying force of one common language in the people. And Bitz writes, he says, how is it that a man halfway around the world understood the importance of a unifying language, and particularly English, to our country's success when so many of our current leaders don't understand it? How is it that this man incentivized Singaporeans to make English their primary language, even though most Singaporeans spoke Mandarin, Malay, or Tamil? The answer is Lee Kuan Yew was the top student in all of Malaysia in 1939, and he was later educated in Cambridge University. He saw firsthand what our country did for Japan after World War II, understood that most of the business in the world at that time was conducted in English, and recognized the importance of social cohesion and unifying role of language. One language unifies, multiple languages divide. Only one needs to visit countries like Belgium, Canada, India, South Africa to understand the divisiveness and never-ending accommodations that citizens of multilingual countries make to accommodate all the major subcultures. Moreover, when a language like English dominates the world, people do not speak it are at a distinct competitive disadvantage. Not making instruction in English widely available and free, and permitting many immigrants and their children to speak their native language in school and workplace, handicaps many people for life. The primary responsibility of a country's leadership is to look out for the well-being of its citizens, a duty that includes securing the country's borders and ensuring an orderly flow of immigrants into the country. When immigrants come into the country illegally, gangs, criminals, terrorists enter the country, low-end wage stagnates, people's relative income and upward mobility decrease, people respect their respect for the government and law diminishes, and order breaks down. Immigrants overwhelm the infrastructure, schools, healthcare, and social services. Governments heavily tax their citizens, they run out of money, and people's quality of life deteriorates. And what they're trying to stop Trump from doing is asking the citizen question on U.S. Census bureaus. You know, the little thing that we fill out from time to time. Who the hell are you? Where were you born? The U.S. Census Bureau reports that 4.7 million people, or some 63% of the total non-citizen households, receive welfare. Federal, state, and local government welfare expenditures for those households were estimated at almost $135 billion in 2017. And depending on how one looks at it, this amounts to about $1,100 annual burden on every working American citizen, or an additional $134.9 billion of debt that we place on our grandchildren every year. When immigrants enter a country illegally and concentrate too much in geographic area, most people react to the dilution of the American perspectives and practices in one of three ways. First, cultural relativists do not care because they maintain that all cultures are equally valid, or at least until you ask them about radical Islam, or radical Judaism for that matter, throw that in there. Second, partisans celebrate if their political power increases with greater numbers of immigrants. Everyone else, well, they get it. They oppose the violation of law, dilution of the culture, displacement of American workers, and public support of foreigners who have never paid taxes. And our laws, institutions, and policies do not operate in isolation. Changes in one of them affects other things. Immigration policies and practices affect the labor supply, the wage rates, and the demand for social services. Permitting many people to enter our country and improve their lives makes sense until it depresses the wages of our citizens and overwhelms our infrastructure, healthcare system, and social safety net. Down here in Central Texas, folks, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of Mexicans. And I know hablé español, so I was speaking to them in English, and they were speaking to me in English. What a thought. And what I discovered was that a lot of these people, they're here generationally. Their grandparents were here. Many of the people that I've spoken to immigrated to the United States legally. Did they have to wait a few years? Yes, they did. But they took full advantage of it once they got in the country. They wanted to be part of something. And what struck me, and what I really dumbfounded me at the time, was the issue of illegal aliens coming into this country. To wit, Mexicans from Mexico. Almost to the man, they were against it. Because this is what they discovered. Why they are doing jobs or doing business, own businesses. They're trying to structure out, charge a fair price for their service. You would have illegals come in and undercut them. People that shouldn't be here in the first place come in and destroy established people's businesses right here in this state. They were not happy about it. Do you think the news ever covered this for one moment? Well, of course they didn't. Folks, the perception has been laid for you. You're a bully. You are a hateful person. You're prejudiced. If you do not open your arms wide for humanitarian reasons, if for no other reason, look at these poor little children. Forget the fact that some of these kids were drug across a couple of different countries in Central America with or without their parents. And somehow it's our responsibility. Oh, look at the bad we're doing once they come in and try to crash the gates to a country, committing an illegal act. No, I'm not going to beat this immigration thing to death. But that is one of the primary, first and foremost, duties and obligations of our government is to protect its citizenry. And a lot of people are miffed. A lot of people are miffed. A guy called in yesterday. He goes, you know, under Trump, we've had over 1 million illegals allowed into the country. Well, if we remember the days of Ronnie Reagan, and I don't remember this verbatim, but he dealt with an immigration problem. And what did he do? Well, he was against illegal immigration, but what does he do? He turns around and allows huge blocks of people to come into the country. I forget the number, but it wasn't a small one. Now, here we are as a country, suffering economically, culturally. It is starting to, and I hasten to use this term, it's affecting people mentally. But I'm not suggesting that it's driving them crazy or making them mentally ill. But I can tell you one thing. People are not in the pink, so to say. They're not enjoying life. They're not having a good time. It's a drudgery dragging your foot from one day to the next. And personally, folks, I don't know about you, but I consider this life that I'm living right now one of the wonders of the universe. The fact that I can just look around me and see creation. How special is that? We have a short time on this mortal coil, and then we got to go bye-bye. We got to shuffle on up to Buffalo. Sorry, Buffalo. Didn't mean to imply that you are not of this world, although some people think that you're not, but be that as it may. And everybody is just sitting around watching this great dynamo of a country that used to be fun, it used to be exciting. There were things to look forward to tomorrow and the day after. You had a dream and you set about building that dream, or at least trying to achieve that dream. And those with patience, if they didn't make it the first time, they learned by their mistakes, they picked themselves off, dusted themselves off, and went at it again. How many people do you know, once they get knocked down, they just say, leave me alone. I've fallen in and I don't want to get up. We'll be back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it. Are back. 800-313-9443. I got a lot of information to go over, but this has been weighing on my mind, so I'm going to call Mark W. Bitz here and I'm going to get him on air, because these are the conversations that need to take place amongst us adults out here. You know, I am just thoroughly amazed. To be honest with you, folks, I surprised myself by having the mettle to hang in for all of these years. I never considered myself to be that strong. But again, I didn't know whose strength I was gauging mine by. I had a mission. I had an agenda. There was something that needed to be done, and quite frankly, there were a lot of people that were doing something, but I thought, you know, rather than sit around and complain about this, let's roll up the sleeves and go to work. Well, I've done that for 27 years without a break. And my God in heaven, I hope I don't have to do this for another 27 years. And I would ignore I would ignore my own depression. I would seek ways to overcome it. And I just knew one thing, that tomorrow is another day. I've got to conclude this one and start a new one. You know, the guy I had on yesterday, Tom, the guy running for president, Kaczynski, he called me at the house. I didn't expect this. I was at home, and he called me at the house, and we spoke for about an hour. Very nice man. And he said, you know, he said, I feel like Icarus on a rope ladder, that I can't see the beginning of it. I know there's a pit down there, and that's nowhere to go. And, you know, to keep climbing that ladder, there's no beginning to it, and there's no end. All you can do is keep climbing, keep going. Scott in New Mexico, I'll make you the first call of the day. Hello, Scott.
Hello, hello, John. Jonathan?
Yes.
How are you?
What's up?
Oh, by the way, that number specifically with Reagan and how many he promised he wouldn't let any in, you looked for that number. It was approximately 385,000, and that was the first dent and scratch in our so-called sanctity of national statehood. But no, they, and you've seen them increase ever since from that point on. John, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
How are we doing on the giving help to keep the network alive? Would you please? Maybe you want to do that later. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I was going to bring it up, but hey, what a great segue to have a caller call in and ask that question. I've got to pay this bill by the 14th, the one internet, just the one bill that makes everything go here. It's like $2,600 plus, and I think I maybe have maybe 800 of it, maybe 900.
Getting about a third or close. Yeah.
Yeah, and
people out there, if you listen and enjoy this, you have no business not giving. You know, I've given when I've been able to, but if you don't give, I mean, you're not going to get. And I'm directing this to the listeners. Now, you can just tune in one day and it'll be static because you thought that everyone else would fill the gap.
Yeah.
But no. You're the gap filler. If you can sit there and think that it's going to come up, just like the sun, we can count on the sun, and we can count on the Son of Man, but we can't count on you, apparently, because John shouldn't have a problem with this.
Well,
I know I'm making a big
Scott, I appreciate what you're saying and the motivations for saying it. And it's like anything else. The 14th is Monday, and that's the cutoff day. If they're not paid, they pull the plug, and it's not calling them up, making a partial payment, and I promise, you know, the check will be in the mail in the next couple of weeks. No, they just unplug you, and then the full amount has to be paid plus penalty to reinstate you. And then the whole while, everything else is...
good Lord.
Yeah. So...
Father John, what's the penalty to get yourself back on track if we fail to get it? Because we don't want this to go down, people that are listening now and have never given. You know, and John didn't recruit me to do this. He doesn't know me from Adam. You know, I've given when I could in the past. And but you just sit there and listen to this. You're not going to get this elsewhere. John's got a key, in a sense, and a tune to the whole vibrato of what the heck's going on. And all I've ever done is learn from my older brother, John.
Well, I appreciate, Scott, I appreciate that. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, never claimed to be that smart.
You're pretty sharp there, John.
Well, it's just a lot of common sense, my friend.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'll do the best I can to muster something, but the time is a wasting, and get to it, or or lose your hearing.
Thank you, Scott.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with
Scott in New Mexico, I appreciate your call very much. Let's go to Chance in West Virginia. Hello, Chance.
Hello, John. You know, I'm getting so fed up with that brainwashing of all cultures are equivalent. Let me tell you, when I hear that, I get insulted because they compare my culture to some cultures that pee and crap in the same water that they drink from. I mean, you can't get no more insulting than that. And not only that, we've been sending, the Peace Corps since JFK's era to Africa to teach these people how to farm, right? They never learned how to farm. They're killing the white farmers in South Africa. Now they're begging them to come back because they don't know how to plant the damn corn. It's like saying, we apologize for raping your wives and daughters and for cutting off your heads, but could you please come back and plant these crops for us? You see how ridiculous this all is, John?
I understand. I made a crack yesterday on air about, somebody said that they're allowing a bunch of sub-Saharan Africans into the country. And I just simply stated, well, maybe they might have a talent or something we can use in the future if we can't afford to buy a home. Maybe they can teach us how to build grass huts. We know how to build adobe.
They'll probably make us build a glass hut for them and then cut our heads off. I mean, this is so damn ridiculous. I can't understand how most people fall for this nonsense.
And Chance, it's all part of the globalist plan to smash cultures and societies. This is what they do.
I realize that, but where are the people? Why do they fall for this crap? How can you convince somebody that their culture is equal to another culture that pees and craps in the same water they drink from? I mean, this is lunacy, isn't it?
It's nuttier than that.
I don't know.
It's nuttier than that.
It's outright wicked and evil, and it's really insulting.
But Chance,
all right, John.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Now, you understand that because you've been given the pieces to the puzzle. You put it together. You understand it. You know what you're looking at. Now, think about the rest of the people in this country. The only thing they're fed is a steady diet of absolute crap and misinformation or purposeful disinformation or no information at all.
Well, read like we did. Do some research. It's not our fault they're dumb as rocks. I mean, this is ridiculous. Is this how people want... They
Chance,
deserve to be
Chance,
slaves.
Chance, yeah. Slow your roll here a little bit, will you? Slow down.
I'm sorry.
Slow down. I'm just asking to slow down. I was one of those people at one time, Chance, and so were you. So let's not condemn people for remaining in a state of Rip Van Winkleism or stupidity or depression or whatever the case may be. Look, Chance, I don't think we've been good enough at spreading the message. Because the message itself... Hold on! The message itself, there's hope in that message. There's hope in unity. There is hope in other people understanding of a problem that you see. One of the things I talked to Tom with last night was one of organization. We don't have the ability, we have lost the ability to organize. We can't
think you should sell your...
Okay. Chance, I'm going to pull you down for a second because I want to get this out without being interrupted, okay? I'm not being rude. I'm just being frugal with my thoughts here. We're quick to condemn. But are we that willing to go back to that well again? You know, the person that said that you were a wingnut 5 years ago or last year or maybe even last week. We are the ambassadors of that truth. We, the people, our fellow Americans, are in trouble. Now, we might say that they're stupid. We might say that they're narcissistic or selfish or whatever the case may be. But not everybody is going to wake up at the same time. They have been waking up, and they are seeking avenues of what the hell is going on. But when this is nothing new. Cultures have been smashed before. Civilizations have been undercut before. It isn't like we have not seen this before, but where is it that we learn these things? Hell, we used to learn about the founding fathers and the Constitution and freedom and liberty and all that stuff when I was in school. We don't learn that anymore. When these kids get to college, what do we have? A bunch of Marxist professors pounding absolute garbage into these young people's minds while they're struggling to pay for their own propaganda. So, Chance, my point here is that there are many reasons, and I am not one of those that's ready to condemn the rest of the citizens of this country because they're not where I am right now. I want them to be, and I'm going to keep working to get as many of those in the tent as humanly possible. It's not going to take everybody. It's going to take a small minority of very dedicated people working tirelessly because you're not going to get everybody. But geez, even Tom recognized that if we don't do this politically, there's going to be a second American Revolution. And for those who are not contributing to the process right now, I hope you leave some food on your back porch for me one day. I may need it. I may be starving. Chance, you got the last word.
People can't expect you to carry this burden on your shoulders alone is what I mean. They have got to wake up. and join with you, not expect you. I could imagine the heavy burden you're carrying. I couldn't do what you're doing. God bless you. They can't expect you to carry this burden alone.
I am surprised, as I said, I am surprised I've been able to do this for 27 years. I am amazing myself.
You amaze me, John. But people have got to wake up and join you, not just sit back and let you carry the ball. I mean, alone. God bless you, John. God bless you. Thank God you're there. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Chance. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Well, if we do have to go into that restoration project, I'm not going to like the idea going into it undermanned, underfunded, underappreciated, not supported enough to literally be fighting for our own lives in our own country to restore and to make great again. And I'm not stealing Donald Trump's mega hat deal here. Truly, folks, at one time we were a dynamo. People respected us and revered us. They weren't afraid of us. It's the foreign policy since the 60s that have made the world afraid of us. And again, without that continuity, without that bonding, you're seeing it lacking everywhere. Even in our school systems, what they're not teaching the children. And more importantly, how they're propagandizing them. The public school system to be used as a transmission belt for the state's propaganda. Well, you're going to get, in about a month and a half, you're going to get a bird's eye view, and you're going to hear people yelling from coast to coast. The brand new National Education Association curriculum they're going to be introducing into every school in this country. We've been talking about it, but not enough people have heard what we have been talking about. And they're trying to be smart, what they think is being smart and cagey about this. I didn't even know about it until about 4 weeks ago. Didn't have an idea it was going on. Had no clue. Then Jane come up from Eagle Forum from Idaho and laid it all out. I talked to Tom about that after the show last night. And he said, please send that to me. Mike in Colorado. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, John, I got to ask you a question I've never asked you. What prompted your initial awakening?
Well, it was a lot of little things over the years. As I've recounted before, it was JFK's death, 3 days of JFK and the death and the funeral and all that stuff. And it kind of got me used to watching important national events. So shortly afterwards, I start tuning in to the evening news. You know, 12-year-old, 13-year-old tuning into the evening news, watching the evening news every night. Now, I probably should have been out riding my bicycle or playing with schoolyard friends or something, but I noticed that we only had three channels, ABC, NBC, and CBS, and they were covering almost the exact same story at the exact time. And that stuck in my head. Then I started to see the media in this country for what it really is. It's not about reporting the news at all. It's about the propagandizing of America. It's about the omission of the truths. And that, and then moving on later years, I guess it really kicked in for me when Bill Clinton decided that, yeah, I think it's a good idea we start banning assault weapons. And yeah, that was really my wake-up call. When the government, was coming for the guns, I thought, you know what? All the other stuff started to make a little bit more sense.
So the the assault weapons ban, and then shortly after Waco and Ruby Ridge and coalesced. Well, I think these parents who are going to realize that the schools want to teach their children porn and sodomy and things like that might be a wake-up for them.
Well, it's demonstrating to me, the masterminds of this, how really scared they are of the American public. It, not scared enough not to do it, but scared enough to keep it under wraps and spring it on people.
And try to pull out all the stops before their time is up.
Exactly. You know, this is why I mentioned with Tom yesterday, you know, how do we fix stuff in this country? Well, you go back to the roots and the basis of this country. There are things that the federal government is involved in that they should not ever be involved in. That is the
Tenth Amendment.
Yeah, that is the that's the purview of the states, and that which isn't specifically spelled out and charged and dutied for the federal government is left respectively to the states or us. And
well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They have gotten in there and screwed everything up economically, socially. The second part of the New Deal, Lyndon Baines Johnson. We've thrown $100 trillion at the poverty and the inner city problem and this, that, and you know, $100 trillion later, what do we have?
More poor people.
More poor people, neighborhoods more violent. I mean, over the 4th of July, just one day in Chicago, six people were shot dead, and I think another 47 were shot and injured on a 4th of July in Chicago.
Yeah.
But see, they want to use instances like that saying, oh, see, this is why people shouldn't have guns. No, this is why we shouldn't have people like this conducting themselves in this society with no respect for other people. That's the problem.
Exactly. And I haven't been able to listen because I've been working too much and I haven't been able to call in and talk to you, but you're never out of my thoughts. And when I get a few extra shekels, I'll send them your way. The reason I initially wanted to call is I wonder if the massive flooding in the Midwest, including the Mississippi over flooding now, and this hurricane, if this potential food shortage or potential high prices of food isn't going to, again, wake up some more people.
You know, I heard Rivero say something about a hurricane, and to be honest with you, I didn't watch any TV today, didn't watch the weather. I know nothing about a hurricane.
Some big one's brewing, and it's going to come up, and it's going to hit where the Mississippi is and flood a bunch of stuff. But I've got a friend in Missouri, and he says there's no way the corn's coming in this year.
Well, I was talking to Vince Finelli the other day, and it has been a really wet spring. And this is because of El Nino. And the weather patterns, this has just converged. We're dragging up. We got southerly, south winds dragging the moisture in off the Gulf. And then you've got moisture, which is usually dry air, coming in from the west-southwest. Well, now that's laden with moisture. So all this stuff is, you know, it's not creating the...
All coming together.
Yeah, it's all coming together and dumping a lot of water, but who knows? Next year, the El Nino might not be around. It might be the reverse. But the point of it is, I asked him, I said, how you doing with your hay? Because he's a cattle grower. And he's got to have hay for his cows to be fed so he can fatten them up and take them to market. And he said, you know, he says, I've got about 60% done. He said, I've got 60% of the hay I'm going to need over next winter. And he says, I think I'm going to be able, he says, it's going to take me about a day and a half to go get the rest of the hay, the 40% that he still needs, to make sure that his cattle are fed next winter. But he told me, he said, a lot of these farmers around here, he said, they don't know what to do. And when it comes time to start buying that hay, because it's been so damn wet, it's going to be really pricey and expensive. You're going to see the price of beef shoot up. But this is temporary. You know, we'll somehow make it through this year, even though we don't have stores of grain and food like we used to have before. Now it's the just-in-time theory, like the Japanese.
Thanks, Clinton.
You know, yeah, there you go.
But thanks, Billy.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
All
keep
right.
up your good work. I'll send you some cash when I can. I hope more listeners do, too, because we got to keep you on the air.
Well, I could use a break, but not this network going bye-bye.
That way.
No, not that way. That's for sure.
All right, bud.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Bye.
Yeah, if you want to donate, please, folks. I mean, I tell. nuts. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and there is a donate button at the top of that page. And when you click on that donate button, as I'm doing right now, can't see me do it, but that will take you, our address is there, Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. It's got the call in to donate number, 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can, you know, you can send us a money order or a check or FRNs wrapped in foil. We don't care. But do it. Been carrying this burden for a very, very long time, and it hasn't broken me yet, but brother, it's gotten close. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Lord, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's been too dark to see.
Out of San Francisco, two different stories from KPIX, Channel 5 out there. And there's snaky things going on with the real estate out there. Here's the first clip. This is a teacher being evicted from a San Francisco Mission District apartment for using appliances not up to code for electricity in an in-law apartment. The rent was $1,700. The house sold for $1.3 million. And the description in this is a dump in an unsafe Mexican neighborhood. Safe places started about $2,200 a month. Here is the clip. Sam, we got my pot open? Good, thank you.
We've reported on several heated fights between landlords and tenants, but this is a first. A teacher served with an eviction notice for using appliances. KPIX5's Michelle Griego on the new tactic.
Michelle Melliette says the eviction notice left on her front door came as a shock.
Please take notice that you have committed or permitted to exist.
It went on to say she and her daughter had 3 days to vacate their two-bedroom, $1,700 a month apartment in the Mission.
I thought, where am I going to go in San Francisco with my daughter and my dog?
And the reason for the eviction? Her landlord contends the illegal in-law unit Michelle's lived in since 2007 isn't safe because it lacks the proper permits.
What the landlord's saying is that this tenant of 9 years is creating a nuisance by using appliances.
Michelle's attorney says it's a first-of-its-kind legal strategy in a city with an estimated 30 to 50,000 apartments that don't comply with safety codes.
It's really going to open up evictions all over the city for tenants in in-law units.
This house isn't made for multiple units and the additional electrical, plumbing, and all kinds of issues involved.
Jonathan Bornstein represents the couple who purchased the home back in March for $1.3 million and inherited the kindergarten teacher as a tenant.
The former owner left her behind, and essentially that's where the real bad person is, as well as Mayor Lee's office for not providing affordable housing.
It's not fair.
And in an unusual twist, the San Francisco Apartment Association is siding with Michelle. The group that represents landlords told us it doesn't support or condone the way the eviction is being handled. But it also notes city laws put building owners with illegal units in a difficult and untenable situation.
They don't want to be landlords.
For now, Michelle is in limbo, getting ready to leave, but hoping to stay. Her case is likely to go to trial next month, a case she says she can't afford to lose.
I don't know where I'm going to go. I have no idea.
2 years ago, San Francisco created a special program to help landlords legalize illegal units. First, apartments have to be brought up to code. So far, only 40 units have been converted. In the newsroom, Michelle Griego, KPIX5.
Now, that's one story. Now, I didn't know that a house could be sold and a new owner purchasing, and you should see this house. I mean, $1.3 million? Folks, here in Texas, I spent $1.3 million on a house. You'd swear to God I was living in the governor's mansion. But out on California, doesn't get you much. Postage size lots with no grass, no room between buildings. No room at all. And I don't know how a person can sell a house to another individual without having that house up to code. Seems to me there's a little bit of price fixing going on here. Now there's another video I want to play you that will just absolutely astound you. It did me. All right, top of the hour break here. Second hour of the National Intel Report coming up. I'm your host, John Stapmiller. And this is the National Intel Report. And this is RBN, folks. Support us.